This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
As the country, as the world within itself is reopening, how has consumer behavior changed? When we think about some of the trends that we're seeing with this report, if I speak to fashion, we're seeing that people are starting to get dressed again. We're seeing things like jeans selling more than elastic waistband pants. You know, we're seeing actual pants sell. I mean, for the longest period of time, we only were really seeing people, if they were buying dress clothes, it was just the top.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 144. Welcome back to the co-pilot seat, Brian.
Thanks, Griff. It's been, I think it's only been a week.
A week?
Maybe two.
Yeah, no, try again.
Three?
Mm.
Oh, that's right. I didn't do one last week.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't do the week before, and that means I didn't do the week before because that would have been normally Rebecca's normal schedule. So, wow, it's been almost a month.
Yeah, I don't know if you've listened, but one of those episodes I did alone.
That's right, this last week.
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't like doing it alone. I prefer to have a co-host always because then it's more conversational as opposed to just someone rambling off the top of their head.
It is, but you pulled it off nicely, and Sandra was a great interview.
Wasn't she the best?
Oh my gosh.
Do you know that she emailed me, and she said the morning that that episode went live, she sold like 7 bottles of the oil that she sells. I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot to us, but I guess it was impressive for her. So there you go, the power of podcast marketing.
And that's an encouragement for every other listener out there to have a compelling story and have you on the podcast.
Yes, if you've got a compelling story and you want to boost your sales, you should consider being a guest on the podcast. We're always looking for sellers.
And other sellers are always looking and listening to hear from other sellers to learn because
exactly.
The market's ever changing.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
I just thought her personal story was also fascinating too, and then how she got into the business of what she sells and where she's originally, where her parents are from.
Yeah.
Things like, it was a great interview.
Hey, we're going to do things a little differently this week, Brian. Why don't you tell the folks who's on the menu this week?
Okay. So first up is Kirsty Dunn, and she returns with a new batch of eBay seller tips that were submitted to the eBay for Business recent sweepstakes. And we'll meet eBay Vice President of Fashion, Jairus Marquez, will share updates about the fashion category as well as the eBay Reopen report, which was recently announced on the Seller News article.
And of course, you'll be back for the You Got Questions segment.
I will. But first, it's eBay Seller Social Marketing Tips.
Based on your email feedback, it appears you really like the seller tip segments, and we're glad to hear that. You know, the ones where we read out the best seller posts from the sweepstake entries on the eBay for Business page. Well, the good news is we have more of them to share, and here to help me go through them is eBay Senior Manager of Seller Engagement, Kirsty Dunn. Welcome back, Kirsty.
Thanks for having me, Griff. I'm happy to be back.
Today, we have a new theme. Why don't you tell us what it is?
June's theme overall is traffic month. And as part of that, we talk about a number of different things, what eBay is doing to drive traffic to the site, but also how sellers can use social media to drive traffic to their listings and to their stores. That's what we're here to talk about today. As part of the recent sweepstakes, we asked, how do you promote your eBay store on social media? And we received so many comments, so much goodness. And you and I are going to go through some of these and hopefully there's some tips or sparks something that another seller can use. I do remember we actually asked specifically in the post copy, like, do you ask an engagement question or things like that? We do that a lot on our Facebook page. So some of these answers address that as well. So I'm excited to go through all of these with you.
So if you're considering using social media to help boost your eBay business, and you should, then some of what the sellers already are doing might be of interest to you. So pay attention. I'm going to let you go first. You can read the name and the post, and we'll go through these.
The first one is from the Duchess of Hazard, and she says, I use Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I share my listings, I share tidbits of insights about something I look for or have sold, and occasionally a picture previewing an upcoming listing. So I like this. She's given some insights into what she's selling, but she's also kind of doing some pre-promotion to get her buyers ready for what's coming up next.
Nothing like whetting the appetite. Kathy says, I use Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. I post most of my listings to all avenues using hashtags and keywords. I also, quote unquote, like my Facebook business posting from my personal feedback, and then I keep my fingers crossed.
Obviously, the more engagements, the more reach you get as well. She's using her own personal to boost those likes and hopefully boost those engagements and make sure that the post shows up in more people's news feeds. The next one is Alyssa Padilla. She says, I've recently started using social as I have various accounts for different things that I dabble in. My main socials are Instagram, Facebook, and reading through the threads, I'm including Pinterest. Depends on the item I'm marketing, I do ask an engagement question, or I'll say something like, only item, if you don't like it, someone else will love it. So make sure to share. My images include the name of my store in case the image alone is shared on other social circles. She's making sure that the image has some branding as well. We actually do that on our Facebook posts. We always make sure it has the eBay for Business logo as well, just to give that additional context in case it is, like she says, shared without the post copy. We know a picture tells 1,000 words and we don't want it to have whatever it is just in isolation. So like a picture of some shoes, if that's just shared as a picture, you're not going to know who that was or what seller that came from.
Libby Knigle Brogy wrote, heck yes, I use Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. We try to make social media be social by keeping the 80-20 rule, which is 80% of them are social and only 20% of them are selling.
Absolutely. Like, it's so important to build up your followers and build up that engagement that you don't just want to be all business and just all like, here's a product, here's a product, here's a product. That makes perfect sense. So Cynthia Duran says, I promote using Pinterest and now learning about Facebook pages from the last eBay podcast. I plan to open my business page to share my treasures. Thank you, eBay, for sharing info.
Each of these different social channels, the strategy and tactics are a little bit different for each because of the way their platform works.
Absolutely. And the audiences are also quite different as well for each channels.
Yeah, and Pinterest is extremely visual. That was its whole purpose. It's all about the image. So you have to make sure you have really compelling, great quality images if you're going to post and promote on Pinterest. Sophie Seagal says, I blast across all platforms, which includes a business page for Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest and TikTok. And of course, our first mention of YouTube and Twitter. Boy, she's everywhere. I show my products. I give recipes, recommendations, and behind the scenes. TikTok has shown a lot of potential. I wish I had more time to spend on creating social media, but my days are heavy scheduled. And this brings up an interesting point. Because running a business, especially if you're selling on a platform like eBay and you're listing all day and taking photos and writing content, it can be really hard to find the time to manage, or as Sophie says, blast everything across all these different platforms. Time management is going to be really important here. And if you're really busy, you may want to give that job to someone else.
She's doing phenomenal work that she's on all of those channels and actively posting. I'm intrigued what her store is. The fact that she says that she gives recipes, I wonder if she's in that line of business, in that category, or if that's an engagement question that she's asking her audience.
Are sellers who post, are they allowed to mention their businesses in the posts?
Yeah.
We would encourage you to do so we can promote your businesses
as
well. Yeah,
exactly. I think we did specifically ask that in one of the questions. I think it was, what are the big retail moments for you? And we said, like, tell us what you sell as well, so that we can kind of map that back a little bit more. If you're entering future ones, please tell us what you sell as well. So it's great additional context.
Yeah, who knows? Either Kirsty or I might end up going to your store and buying something.
Exactly. It has been known to happen.
You know the famous line from the David Mamet play, Glengarry Glen Ross, ABC, always be closing. I think of it as ABS, always be selling.
For sure. So Melanie McClanahan says, I always share on Twitter and I have a Pinterest page for my store. The numbers on Twitter have gotten me a lot of sales.
You would never think of Twitter, which is such a different platform from Facebook or Pinterest, would be a great place to sell. But up every platform, as I said before, has its own format in it. You have to develop a strategy for each one.
Again, I'm intrigued what her store is and what she sells. I'd love to learn more. So Melanie, if you're listening, let us know.
I've just read through these. No one has put their store name in there. It's frustrating. Hopefully we'll do this in the future, though. Our next one was actually the sweepstakes winner for this particular set of entries. And again, I remind you that on Facebook, these are randomly selected. It's like putting all of the entries into a big bowl and then pulling one out. And the winner for this particular group was Denise Martell. Congratulations, Denise. Denise says, we use Facebook and Instagram. Our posts are mainly about products and information that we feel our customers would be interested in and interact with. Good point.
And then Beth Flood, she says, I use Facebook only. I do not promote much except to upload relevant listings in groups that I belong to that allow me to post. I upload vintage Christmas in the Christmas group, children's books in the kids' book group, and so on.
That's targeted.
That makes sense. Yeah, exactly.
Treasures by Brenda. I wonder if that's her seller ID. We'll have to check. I share on Pinterest, says Treasures by Brenda, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, using both business and personal pages. I share items, I share tidbits of insights about something I learn about them, and sometimes personal stories.
I like the personal stories. That's something that we try and uncover in our seller stories as well. It's the person behind the store. It's your personal journey and your business story and why you sell what you sell. And we know that buyers love a bit of a kind of behind the scenes as well. And yeah, great one, Treasures by Brenda. So the next one is John Hayes. And he says, sharing recent thrift hauls, sharing links via eBay, sharing items being shipped, etc. I'm intrigued where he posts them. But yeah, love those content themes, John.
And that's very important. Like, it's like a reveal. I remember years ago in the antiques business where we would go to a, we used to call them pickers shop, when we knew they were coming in with a fresh load of merchandise, and you would get to pick through it and buy stuff. And that's kind of the online version of the old waiting for the picker to show up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sharon Rose says, I mostly use Twitter. To be honest, I don't use an engagement question or anything like that. I just post the most keyword loaded descriptive title for my item, and I include a photo and a link, and also use relevant hashtags. I haven't found people to be very interested in engaging. Most just find my stuff through the keywords or hashtags or are drawn in by the nice photo.
A picture tells 1,000 words, as we know. She's testing it. She knows how her audience works. And as long as she's getting the sales through it, that's all that matters.
I'm really surprised by this. I've never heard of anyone just using Twitter, but it sounds like Sharon's found a way to do it.
Jennifer Lund says, all listings are shared to Pinterest, but I use Instagram for engagement. I've also created a Facebook page for consignment as another avenue for inventory.
Facebook page for consignment. So she's using that to get inventory.
Build her business. Yeah. So she's targeting others who maybe have things that they want to consign. So who have items that they want to sell through her. So she's using Facebook as a kind of business to business, a B2B channel, which is awesome.
I know some folks use Facebook Marketplace to look for local inventory, but this is an intriguing way of using Facebook. I'd like to learn more. Lillianne's Treasures, her submission was, I have Twitter, Pinterest, and Facebook. I share links to my listing. I should ask engagement questions. That's a great idea. So sometimes people will write their tips, but then they're also noticing that others are doing something and they'll remark, hey, I'm learning something. So Lillianne, she didn't just provide what she does. She's picked up an idea. I love the idea of engagement questions. If you see any successful pages like on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, the most successful influencers and marketers of their own business always ask a question. And so, Lillianne, I think you're on the right track here.
I seem to recall that. I think I saw her follow back up and said that she'd tried it or something like that. Obviously, she was, at least she's shown an intention to give it a go, which is awesome.
Yeah. And if Lillianne, if you're listening, let us know, podcast@ebay.com, or you can call our number at 888-723-4630 and let us know how the engagement question is working for you.
So the next one is Edwin Flores. He says, I use Instagram and YouTube. I usually ask some questions, but since I have very few subscribers, I don't get many. Either way, it's fun. I think having fun with it, and especially on YouTube and Instagram as well, that's really important.
And Edwin, you say you don't have a lot of subscribers. We're going to have to get some folks on the podcast who can tell you how you can build up your subscriber list, unless you're satisfied with having just the level of subscribers that you have now. But I suspect you might not be. Nancy E. Reese says, I use Instagram to share sales tips, new acquisitions, and snippets of life in New York City.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the behind the scenes. Love it.
Chasing down sourcing while taking the subway. Which I read today is now, it's back open 24 hours a day. Life is returning to somewhat, I'd hate to use the word, normal back in New York City. And you get the last one of our list.
Trish Rucker says, I use Twitter and have a Facebook business page for my eBay store. I try to vary content to make it interesting for readers, including some general book, vintage, etc. posts, as well as posts about items for sale. So she's not just posting about her listing, she's just posting kind of more general ones about her industry.
Kirsty, you're going to be joining us again next week for more.
Yeah, so next week we're going to be still marketing theme, but this time talking about on-site marketing tactics. So which of the eBay tactics you use to drive traffic and to drive sales.
We'll see you then.
Thank you, Griff. Take care.
And next week, Kirsty will be here to help read through some of the greatest posts that were submitted for the topic, How Do You Market Your Business on eBay? This week, we have a brand new eBay executive joining us for her first time on the podcast. eBay Vice President of eBay Fashion, Cherish Marquez, is here to talk about the Reopen Report, and she's going to also provide us an update on what's new with handbags and authentication. Welcome, Cherish.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. Really appreciate it.
Can you give us a little insight into your role as Vice President of Fashion at eBay?
My role was created as part of the focused vertical strategy that eBay launched about 18 months ago. The strategy allows for us to focus on very specific verticals where we look at those categories, we dig deep into those categories, figure out what drives them. In addition, it also allows us to learn how we can take this playbook into other categories. The categories that I have are the fashion categories, which is essentially anything that you wear, shoes, clothing, handbags that you sort of wear, you know, apparel, all of the things that you would technically kind of put on your body falls within the fashion space. From a focused vertical perspective, we have spent a lot of time around luxury watches over $2,000 is where we're focused right now, and on sneakers over $100.
Yeah, I know with the sneakers, a lot of our sellers who are listeners to the podcast also will, if not full-time, occasionally sell sneakers that are $100 or more in value. And they've seen this now that this is a new way of selling.
Definitely.
Cherish, tell us also a little bit about your experience prior to eBay and how that relates to your current role.
I am a retail geek. I've been selling things since I was in high school at the mall. That was my first job and then continued in retail at different companies like Sears. I was at Walmart on the Sam's Club side, and most recently, I came from Levi's working, yes, on their .com sites, but also with their wholesale partners. So in a lot of ways, working with smaller sellers to figure out not only how do they improve their in-store experience, but also how they improve their digital experience. I have been with different fashion areas and companies pretty much my whole life. I mean, even my mom was a merchant in fashion. It's kind of something I wanted to avoid. I wanted to go into politics, but here I am in retail, which is plenty of politics. Fashion has plenty of politics as well. So I guess I landed in the right spot either way.
Well, you landed where one of your passions happens to live as well. So
exactly.
And one of the things we wanted to talk about today was the Reopen Report. Can you explain what it is and how it's meant to provide eBay sellers some, I guess, useful context for their businesses?
We've all been sort of locked up in our homes for the past, I don't know, year and a half. And with that, there were consumer changes. This Reopen Report kind of looks and says, as the country, as the world within itself is reopening, how has consumer behavior changed? When we think about some of the trends that we're seeing with this report, if I speak to fashion, we're seeing that people are starting to get dressed again. We're seeing things like jeans selling more than elastic waistband pants. You know, we're seeing actual pants sell. I mean, for the longest period of time, we only were really seeing people, if they were buying dress clothes, it was just the top, you know. So we're definitely seeing that people are getting ready to go out again, and they're getting ready to show off a little bit more. We're seeing high heels. We're seeing blazers. So work clothing. We're seeing weddings come back, you know, and people buying more formal wear. It just is starting to show that people are ready to be out. They're ready to kind of show off a little bit more, that they're done with the elastic waistband being at home lifestyle.
You keep saying elastic waistband, and it makes me feel so guilty.
Hey, I've got one too. Don't worry. I haven't gotten that far yet. I'm still a waist up myself. So.
And this also just isn't a need, like people need these things to get back to work or to go out. Isn't it true that a lot of this is desire? It's been a year of not being able to dress up and go out, and folks are looking forward to changing up their fashion.
Definitely, especially when we think about some of the things we're seeing with luxury watches and handbags. I mean, when you're buying a luxury watch and a handbag, yes, you are doing it for yourself, but you also want to show off a little bit when you're spending that kind of money. At least most of us, not all. Some people just buy it for themselves, but sometimes you want to show off, and you can only do that if you leave the house.
I'm getting a little tired of my canvas tote. I need something a little stylish.
Exactly.
Jairus, this reopen report, is this based on eBay data?
Yes, it actually is eBay's data and the trends that we're seeing and that we've seen over the time period and the changes in those trends.
It's just about our market, so we know what's happening in that market. That's what sellers are most concerned about, is getting that information.
Exactly.
Where can we find the report?
The report is going to be posted as a seller news announcement. Look out for that coming soon.
By the time we air this episode, it should already be up. And once we have a link to it, we'll actually put the link in the transcript so that you can read it for yourself. Now, let's talk about the other bit of news, which is very exciting, and that's extending the authentication program to handbags. Tell us about that and how that kind of reflects our focus vertical strategy.
As we worked through our luxury strategy, handbags falling under luxury, once we learned more about the importance of authentication in the luxury watches space, we looked and said, what's the next category to go into? And handbags was a clear winner based on the business in handbags, based on the trends that we're seeing. So the timing is great. And it's important to have authentication in handbags, especially over a few hundred, and in some cases, thousands of dollars that you're spending on a handbag. You want to verify that you have the right thing.
And we should remind our sellers how the authentication program will work, and if it will work differently for handbags than it does for, say, sneakers.
It works in a very similar way where the seller will list the item. If it falls within the appropriate threshold for handbags that are $500 and up, and those will show the authenticity guarantee badge, similar to sneakers and luxury watches, so the same exact badge. When the customer decides to actually purchase, then the seller will send that over to our authentication center for handbags using people who are experts in handbags that will then inspect the bag, all of the steps that need to happen, and then they will ship that to the customer.
For sellers of other types of high-end fashion, is there anything we can tell them about how sometime in the future this may actually be a service that's expanded within the fashion category? So it's not just sneakers or watches or handbags, but maybe high-end fashion in general. Is that something that's possible?
It's definitely something that we're exploring. We understand the importance of authentication, especially for these high-end items. I think what we're trying to understand now when we think about the apparel space is, what is that number and how important is it for people to have their items authenticated, and what is the dollar amount? So it is definitely in the realm of possibility. I think we're figuring out what are the details around that and where does authentication make the most sense.
And this looks to be an industry standard when it comes to online commerce, where the customer doesn't get to inspect the merchandise before committing to purchase. This is a great way of instilling a lot more confidence in a buyer who's purchasing on a place like eBay. What kind of confidence can a seller be expected to experience by using authentication service for those categories where that seller's selling in? What's the benefit for them?
The benefit for the seller is that by having that interim third party, what the seller has put and listed, the authentication center is validating that, yes, this item is everything that the seller said it was. So once it's shipped, they know that a third party has looked at this. And so the item that I actually listed is the item that the buyer is getting. So in case there's any significantly different as described or anything, there is a record that an interim third party has looked at that. So the seller can make sure that all of those steps are followed.
So, Jairus, one of the big concerns I know a lot of sellers have when it comes to selling on eBay and selling high-end goods is, in the case of a return request, sellers want to make sure that the item they're going to get back in a return is the same item that they sold. With these different categories now moving to authentication at certain values, what happens for a return request when something has been authenticated?
First, the return goes back to the authentication center. And then we check everything out and see if it still matches to make sure that that item matches what they shipped out initially.
Including for condition, I would assume.
Yes, definitely.
That's good to know. Are you a buyer on eBay?
I am a buyer on eBay. I now, and even more so, I think before, prior to coming to eBay, it was more for the, oh, I just can't find this. Like my son had wanted he's trying to be a budding filmmaker, and he was looking at, he said he needed a military vest, a British military vest for whatever the scene he was doing. And I was able to find it on eBay, a children's size in eBay, only on eBay. So I had started really with those, but now that's the first place I go, whether it be to something like butterscotch, sugar-free butterscotch chips, or the face cream I use, or the flip-flops that my kids wear. I kind of go to eBay now for everything and not just for those very special items that I don't think I can find anywhere else.
Oh, that's good to know. Have you happened to ever sell on eBay?
Yes, I do. Actually, my son and I have three boys, but my oldest son, we've been selling things throughout the house, and he has reminded me that he has made more money off of eBay than he gets through his allowance and chores. He's definitely selling and super active within that, which has become a family affair, because who's going to actually take it to the post office and package it up and do all of that. So it's become, you know, where all of the family is involved. And then I've just tried to sell things that I find around my closet. My office is in my closet right now. So I spend a lot of time looking around saying, do I really need that? And so I'll just throw it on eBay, whether it's a small piece of artwork or something that I used to have on my desk, a little collectible item. So I have become a seller. I'm not as active as all these wonderful stories I see or as my 11-year-old, but I'm learning.
Yes, but it's also very good to at least know the product from both ends when it comes to eBay, both as a buyer and seller, and you're meeting those goals. They can help you understand what it is that buyers and sellers experience when they're using the site.
Yes, and just as they say, I believe I do have a couple $1,000 worth of things that could go.
Oh, at least.
And that would find a beautiful home, just not mine.
So. Then if it doesn't spark joy, onto eBay it goes. So it can spark someone else's joy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Cherish, anything else you want to add before we sign off?
The only thing that I would add is that I'm starting to talk to sellers, but I can never talk to enough. I do really enjoy talking to sellers, hearing their stories. I have been just in awe in coming to eBay and hearing a lot of these stories. And that's really why I came to eBay. It was about economic empowerment, and our sellers just really bring this to life. So I just want to thank our sellers, especially the ones that have been with us from the beginning and deal with our ups and downs and our changes. And what I can commit to is that we're going to try to make things better for you, but really appreciate just all that our sellers, you know, do for us. And that is why I come into work every day. And that's why I came to eBay, is because of this economic empowerment, so that my 11-year-old can make more money off of eBay than by his chores, you know, and he can be the next one. Thank you for all that our sellers do. And I'm going to try my best to just make things better for us all.
And it's been a pleasure meeting and talking with you. I hope someday we'll be able to meet in the office once it's opened again.
Agreed.
But in the meantime, thank heavens for Zoom.
Exactly. Thank you so much. This has been great. Really appreciate the time.
Vice President of eBay Fashion, Charis Marquez, has talked about two things during this segment. The reopen report, the link to which we'll put in our transcript once the SNA is up. It should be up by the time this podcast episode airs. And also, what's new with authentication coming to handbags?
You got questions?
Well, we got answers, as we always do. Hey, Brian, what's our first question?
Well, our first question was emailed to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller Anne, who writes, "Hi, Griff. I look forward to your podcast every week. While listening today, I realized I should ask you about the issue I've been having finding some of my items in search. One example, search First Communion Dress Size 6X. My item should come up as far as I can tell. But when I do this search, it's nowhere to be found. That was last night. I made some small listing changes, and still it didn't come up. Then today, as I'm writing this email, it does come up in the search. Does this mean that we should tweak older items in order to get them to be recognized in searches? Or was last night an anomaly? I also have all of my items in sponsored search at 1%. Any other suggestions? I've also heard it helps to end and sell similar for older items. Will that help?" Would that require taking new photos or would they remain in the listing? Thanks so much for your help, Anne Cerulla, One Stop Wedding Shop. Our pleasure, Anne. So, yeah. Griff, what do you think?
Well, hello, Anne. I checked, as I normally do when I get this kind of email, and I did find your dress immediately. In fact, coincidentally, it showed up in first place in Best Match, searching on those keywords, First Communion Dress Size 6X. And it shows up in every other sort as well, albeit a little further down the page. We have 41 results at the time I searched. So well done, you. And yes, it was the tweaking that did it. I can't say with absolute authority why it didn't show up before, but I suspect it may have been depressed by eBay's search algorithm. Items that are unsold for more than a year are sometimes lowered in results or even removed from search results in some cases. However, if the seller makes changes to that listing, the item will show up again, as you have discovered. eBay usually warns sellers of this with a note next to the quote-unquote stale item in your active view in Seller Hub. It says something like, this item has not sold in X months. Consider making revisions or removing it. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly what it says. And I used to have a bunch of these, but I took it to heart and actually made the changes. So all those alerts went away. Now, I don't recommend ending a stale listing and relisting it unless two criteria are met by that listing. And that is that the item listing has no watchers. You've checked, no one's watching it. And the item is receiving little or no click-throughs per the data for that item in your traffic page in Seller Hub.
And Griff, it says, because I have two listings like that, this listing hasn't had any sales in at least X months. Please consider updating it.
Oh, so I was close, but that's the exact wording. Yeah,
exactly. So like you said, if the item has no watchers and little or no click-throughs, then ending it and relisting it with changes might help. But, and this is important, if the item does have even one watcher, ending it and relisting it will result in you losing that watcher. So only use the end relist as a last resort for truly dead items. Otherwise, make changes to the listing like new photos, new description, more item specifics, price changes, etc. And it is easier to use relist as opposed to sell similar, as relist keeps all of the important data like photos, etc.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you really want to end the listing, end it, and then you can go to your ended listings view and relist it. I don't recommend using sell similar because you'll have to do some extra data entry, including putting your photos in. Now, those features are critical for success. Even if the dead quote-unquote item is promoted without making changes, its chances of appearing in sponsored placements are really low, especially if your campaign is only for 1%. So I would advise against promoting listings of any type without making sure they're as perfect as possible.
And it sounds like you've done everything across the board at 1%, and that's one strategy to use. But you may want to be more selective as well and look to see maybe there's some items that you really want to sell and you move those to 3 or 4 and you take the 1% off the others. See which ones, and especially if you have some unique items, you may not need to promote them as much and you can use your promotion dollars on the ones that you really need to promote.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Brian. It pays to be more strategic and to test, A/B test and record the results, even for things like campaigns for promoted listing.
Well, Anne, I hope this all helps and keep on tweaking those stale old listings. Our next question was called in. Let's listen.
Hi, Griff. Just finished listening to the latest podcast. My username on eBay is GBBEIL. My name's Greg. I've been selling probably 6 years. I'm a yard sale seller. I would like to offer free returns, but I'm hesitant because I sell some things that are so low priced, I would just as soon refund them the complete amount rather than sending it back. My question is, if I offer a free return, will eBay notify me prior to issuing them a return label so that I can just give them the full refund instead of getting the item back? Also, if you still have those mugs, I'd love to have one. Thanks for all you guys do.
I think we had good news for Greg.
We do. Greg, you can already do this using return rules in Seller Hub. You can go to Seller Hub, the order tab, look for the link on the left side navigation for return preferences, and click it. From there, you'll be on the page for creating return rules. There you can create and prioritize a group of return rules to apply to all return requests.
Yeah, and Greg, the steps from there are pretty self-explanatory, but in brief, you can set up a rule for automating a refund without requiring a return, and you can base it on the sale price. For example, you can set it, let's say you set it at $5. That way, if a buyer submits a return request for an item that's sold for $5 or less, the buyer would receive an automatic refund of their purchase price with a notice that they don't have to send the item back.
I love it when a seller has a request for a feature that already exists.
I know. Greg, thanks for calling in your question, and keep an eye out for an eBay for Business podcast mug. It's on its way.
Do you have a question or comment? Do you want a podcast mug?
Who wouldn't?
If so, call us on 888-723-4630 and leave your question and your shipping address.
That's 888-723-4630. What I love about that voice line is you can call it any time of the day, any day of the week, 24/7. Leave a question or a comment, and if it's appropriate, we'll put it on the air.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com. And again, if we use your question on the podcast, we'll send you a rare eBay for Business podcast mug.
Suitable for framing.
What?
Or for using to enjoy a hot beverage.
Or a cold one.
Or a cold one. Now it's time for your daily podcast to-do list.
Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
If you have alerts in your active view for the column for item specifics and it says recommended or soon to be required, don't put it off. Fill them in as soon as you can.
And if you have filled in the applicable recommended specifics and don't want to see the alert again, remember to check the box for don't remind me, the alert will disappear.
Oh, those pesky reminders. And our third to-do list entry, Brian?
Check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, CMO and VP of Seller Community Andrea Stairs returns to the podcast with some updates on eBay marketing plans for on- and off-site marketing to buyers.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, eBay Manager of Seller Marketing, Kirsty Dunn, and VP of Fashion, Sharis Marquez.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.